in media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And so, are you familiar with the pianist Chopin?
Yes, Chopin, yes. Yes.
Well, apparently there is
not quite as sexy as Liszt, though.
Ooh. You're all about the Liszt and not about the Chopin? Who knows? So, Frédéric Chopin,
okay.
He has been inaccurately, according to a Warsaw historian,
okay,
as a heterosexual.
Ooh.
With various bosom buddies. But apparently the original Polish letters that he'd written had been mistranslated, and they'd applied the feminine when he was referring to the masculine.
Huh.
And apparently the meaning of several of these letters had gone changed differently. So the music journalist Moritz Weber claims that apparently Chopin, his connection with women was over-exaggerated, according to Weber.
Okay.
And he was often looking for men. Yeah, there was lots of declarations of men and so on. In one of the 22 letters, according to this article, he told his friend, Titus Wachowski, "You don't like being kissed. Please allow me to do so today. You have to pay for the dirty dream I had about you last night."
Okay.
I mean, and then he often signed the letters with, "Give me a kiss, dearest love."
This is a far cry from Tchaikovsky, who was also gay, but was like really in the closet, and he had all sorts of like internalized homophobia and had troubles coming out with it. So I guess we could take Chopin as a better historical figure.
There are letters expressing desire and erotic desire for both men and women.
Oh, okay, there you go.
So, you know, which is fine. In Poland, as we've seen with the no say gay zones and the sort of anti-LGBT place, there is the Chopin Music Festival. And the Polish who are running these anti-LGBT zones are claiming that it's not in the Polish culture to be gay.
And, I don't know about that.
Chopin may have disagreed.
There's a very large Polish community in Hamilton where I did my undergrad. And I spent a lot of time around people who did not speak English as a first language. Like, these were people where, like, you meet them and they're like, "Yes, my name is Sasha." And you're like, "Oh, another Polish guy, apparently." And no, a lot of them were, well, it was probably the bias. Like, they probably moved to Canada to get away from that. But it's, I don't know, it's very peculiar. Polish history is, they're kind of one of Europe's oldest colonies. And they're having a brief moment in the sun where they get to be their own people. And they're taking it in a very peculiar direction. Which isn't to say they should go back to being a colony of Germany or the Austro-Hungarian Empire or Russia or whatever. You know, they're a young nation, in a way, even though they're 1,000 years old. I don't know. Poland's weird.
Speaking of weird.
Yeah.
I have a story for you.
Are we going to talk about the drainpipe?
No, we will get to the drainpipe.
Okay.
Listeners, prepare yourself.
Okay.
For the politician shimmy drainpipe story. But I want to talk about sexually confused moths.
Okay.
And I don't think you've seen this story.
No.
So in Ireland, in the House of the Irish Parliament, they have, for years, they've had infestations of moths.
Okay.
I mean, at this point, I think it would be cheaper to mothball the building and just build a new one than it has been to try and remove these darn creatures,
okay,
from all of the crevices and so on. And they've tried lots of different methods, but this company called Rent-O-Kill,
oh my God,
has dispatched a new method of dissuading these moths who keep reproducing all over the darn building. And it's causing quite an issue. So what these do, they've installed 70 pods, which are chock full of powdered female moth pheromone.
Okay, yes.
So in flies the male moth.
Yeah.
Gets completely coated in female moth pheromone and then freaks out, very confused as to why there is no female moth, and now he smells like a female moth pheromone, and then flies away somewhat aghast, agog,
yeah,
at the situation, and is then pursued by all of the male moths. So they are introducing population control for the moth infestation by sexually confusing all of the moths.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah, that's the official plan.
So, fun fact, there was a point in my life where I wasn't sure if I was going to stay in university or become a lepidopterist. And lepidoptery being like the study of moths and butterflies. And I actually was pretty serious about it for a while. But anyway, yeah, I'm actually looking up the picture right now of the moth. And I can tell you right now, just by looking at its body structure, it has these like feathery looking antenna things on its head. Mm-hmm. Those are special organs whose sole function is detecting the pheromone of the opposite sex. Both males and females have them, and they detect the pheromone of the opposite sex. So they're incredibly easy to confuse and misguide because those things are very, very sensitive to the parts per million. And if you just load a room with that stuff, it would just be like, I don't know, it'd be like, if you went to the mall and every surface was covered in hardcore gay pornography... it would be a bit confusing, even if you were into it. And if you were not into it, it would still be confusing.
Yeah.
It would just be very disorienting.
Yeah, and somewhat distracting, like unexpected.
Just testicles and foreskin everywhere.
Yeah, just, oh my.
Yeah. I'm just here to get a cable for my computer.
And all, you know, just like wham, bam, thank you, man, I think is what you're met with.
Good gravy, yeah. So, I mean, this is basically the same thing. The moth equivalent, yeah.
I get that.
Actually, it is an equivalent because we're more of a visual species. So, yeah, that would be, yeah.
Yeah, so really they're just lambasting them with
I'm sure if they
unsolicited
focused and if they're like, no, Deborah, you are here to buy a lamp, then you could get that lamp. But if you did not have that fortitude, then you would just be distracted by all the
hardcore, all of the pornography. Yeah, yeah, the family.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's one or two moths that make it through the cloud, but...
well, apparently they're trying it as a form of moth birth control, because all of the moths will be chasing the various unlucky male moths that flew into the... pheromone powder.
Super duper lucky.
Ones. Oh, very, very lucky male moths. Yeah. At the end of the day, that's what they'll be doing. And they expect that they will spend less time reproducing with the female moths.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of an impact that has. We'll keep an eye on the story.
I'm surprised they didn't just bring in predators. Like, imagine just releasing a bunch of sparrows.
Just all over the Irish Parliament.
Yeah.
Just sparrows everywhere. Yeah. And then to get rid of the sparrows, you need to get in...
Hawks.
Just hawks everywhere. And I mean, and then after that, you have to bring in American dentists on vacation so that they can hunt them. I mean, it's a whole... evolution of things. All right, well, one more good story before we move into the drainpipe politician, and that is the government of the Netherlands has officially apologized for what has been a program of sterilization of trans folks.
Ooh.
In order for trans folks, as of I want to say 1985 until 2014, so pretty recently, in order to transition legally within the Netherlands, so that includes Amsterdam and the other Dutch cities, you had to be medically sterilized as part of it. Apparently about 2,000 people underwent the medical sterilization just for the pleasure of having the correct gender identity on their legal status.
That's really weird.
I mean, it was not uncommon for sterilization, is something we've seen elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But the Dutch government, after a lawsuit was brought by 2014, no, it wasn't 2014, Wilhelm van Kampen and 15 others filed a lawsuit recently, and the government did apologize just this week for the policy. They say it was a symbol of social rejection. It was unacceptable. And the law could give transgender people a hard, almost impossible choice. So yeah, it certainly has raised a lot of issues. We have lots of stories to cover this week, including the drainpipe politician, which we'll get to in just a few minutes. The next is The Keen and the Kind with Joseph. We will be back just after this.
Hi. identity, safe from residency, growing up someone you're not, trying to be right. You were dealt an unfair hand, got away unscathed, unbranded. You took to your grave, and we don't know the demons haunting your dreams. All we know is who you left behind.
To Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
I went a bit Michael Caine then. My name is Luke Smith. Sorry, I went a bit sort of East End of London.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. but no, yes, that's not. I mean, I'm not not from the East End of London, and my name isn't Michael Caine. Let's move on.
I'm still looking at pictures of Mavs.
You're still looking. You were actually mad at me during the music break because the Irish had named a green silverback moth the green silverback moth.
No, the green silver stripe moth, yeah.
Because it was green with silver stripes.
This one looks like a drag queen. That is a drag queen moth.
That is a drag queen moth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should tell them people.
It's so called the tiger moth, if you'd like to look it up. It just looks like a drag queen's gown. Ooh, the leopard moth also looks like
stop
a drag
looking
queen.
At moths. All right, we promised people a drainpipe politician. Let's give the people a drainpipe politician. Let me tell you, and you know a bit about the story as well, so you can add to it.
Oh, yeah.
It is, do you know how to say his name? I would have gone with, like, Joseph Saja, is how I would have pronounced it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's Sager. That's probably as good as any non-Polish speaker.
Yeah, so Joseph Sager is the member of the European Parliament. He is a diplomat in terms of European Parliament. He has diplomatic status. And he was in Brussels in Belgium. You've been to Brussels?
No.
Oh, haven't you? I thought you've been to Belgium.
I've been to Belgium, but I was in Liège, which is a city that people forget exists.
And they forget about Liège?
They forget about it. It's the largest French-speaking city and the birthplace of Charlemagne. And the first time I was there, I was like, I know why Charlemagne conquered Europe. Because the entire thing is in a very steep valley, and he probably got sick and tired of going up and down those hills.
So he just invaded the Netherlands.
Yeah, invaded all the flat parts.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that checks out.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the drainpipe politician. Joseph Sager, on last Saturday, resigned as a member of the European Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is like, pourquoi? Why have you resigned? And he's like, personal reasons.
Personal reasons.
I want to spend time with the family. And everyone is like, okay, weird, but okay. And let's just backtrack 24 hours to Friday night in Brussels, in Belgium.
Because it took digging, because first there was the announcement, and everyone was like, weird, but okay. And then a couple intrepid reporters went into it, being like...
I wonder if all reporters are described as intrepid.
Oh, no. No.
Not all of them. Okay. But these ones were intrepid.
Yeah, these ones were, yeah.
Okay. So there is a young, very twinkie-looking man. I mean, he was cute. I would, is all what I'm saying. The Belgian papers TV station interviewed the man. His name is David Manzheli.
Okay.
David Manzheli. And he was just having some people over.
Mm-hmm.
Small house party. And, you know, what happens in a gay man's house party is what happens in a gay man's house party. And he'd invited 10 people. Now, let me just draw a line right there in this story. Let's put a little pin in it. And I will let people know that in Belgium, they are fighting the global pandemic of the coronavirus. Yep. They are also worried about an exploding second wave.
Mm-hmm.
And they have restrictions of no more than 4 people in a household who aren't normally in said household.
And Belgium's actually one of the countries that's doing the worst currently. I don't know if you know that.
So the police were phoned by the neighbours for a ruckus party during a pandemic.
Snitches get riches.
Snitches get riches.
If there's
a reward. Otherwise.
Otherwise, then no. It's just snitches get.
And sense of good.
I don't know.
Achievement. But anyway, so the neighbors are like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There is COVID-19. We are struggling to keep it under control.
Mm.
And Mr. Manzheli next door is having every Tom, Dick and Harry come by and visit. Now, in all fairness to Mr. Manzheli, David, let's call him David, is his name.
Right.
He invites 8 to 10 people. It's not his fault if those 8 to 10 people invite 1 or 2 of their friends.
Okay, yes.
And then suddenly you have 24 people showing up at this little party.
I don't remember seeing those numbers, but yeah, okay, that is a piece of context that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that included a few diplomats.
A few diplomats,
about 3. Now, the Belgian police...
What kind of a house party would a...
diplomat show up at?
Yeah, randomly.
Well, let me set the scene for you at Mr. Manzheli's house party.
Okay.
Of which he invited 8 to 10 people illegally against COVID regulations.
Right, yes.
There is Halloween decorations still on the wall everywhere. Like fake spider webs and little cutout animal pictures.
Were they still up or were they always up?
I don't know. I would believe they may even been always up. It was a little on the tacky side. And he had mattresses on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
What was described as a lube station in the middle of the room, which is just a small table with an array of available options as lubricants.
Now here's what concerns me. Was there also a hand wash station somewhere?
I mean, there was the kitchen sink, the bathroom sink. Like, there are...
That's not WMIS compliant.
You just made me do a spit take. I'm going to have to clean my phone. So, yes, he is hosting this illegal party. The police show up.
With sanitation problems.
He alleges that everyone took a rapid COVID-19 test at the door.
What?
I mean, come on. Like, really? The police show up to shut down this rambunctious, what they described as a legs-up party.
Oh.
Which I think is the best description I have ever had in my life. Of what was ostensibly an orgy. But yes, the police go and raid this legs-up party. And one of the gentlemen, a lot of them had no ID on them.
Okay.
No identifications. Although David Manshealy does point out to the Belgian media that they also had nothing else on them either. Clothing, socks, shoes, nothing.
Well, never bring anything to a legs up party that you are worried might get stolen.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, there's that. That there's some life advice for you. Right.
Except
there.
Your pride. Yes. So this one individual realizes, oh no, the popo. And they didn't knock. They just bust that door down. Because busting a COVID party is serious business.
Okay.
As we all know. And they come in and there's legs up everywhere. There's a lube station in the middle of the floor. And one man tries to flee with his backpack out the window and shuffles down a drain pipe.
Right.
Now, luckily, the Belgian police, they posted at least one person outside of the building who was able to patiently wait as this man shuffles down the drain pipe.
Because they saw that Daft Punk video.
They did see a Daft Punk video and they knew it. They knew it would happen.
Well, for those who are curious, there's a Daft Punk music video called Revolution 909 that has two things in it. It has a rave that gets busted up and a woman who shuffles down a drain pipe. And also a fantastic tomato sauce recipe that I've replicated. It's actually quite good.
It's a good tomato sauce recipe.
Yeah, there's a tomato sauce recipe in a Daft Punk music video. Trust me, look it up.
It's good.
Yeah.
We recommend it. It gets 5 out of 5 tomatoes.
For sure, yeah.
All right. So this individual gets stopped. He has no ID on him. He has a backpack that has ecstasy in it.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea where this ecstasy came from.
Personal use or party
bomb? It was a single ecstasy tablet, apparently.
That's a very different story than like bringing a backpack for everyone.
Yes, it wasn't a sharing is caring moment.
No, it was
I don't know how that got there, officer moment. And it turns out that this unidentified drainpipe shuffler
mm-hmm.
was none other than MEP Joseph Saja of the Hungarian political party. He actually helped found the Hungarian party in question.
Oh.
There's the guy in charge, the president of Hungary, is Viktor Orbán. And they are notoriously anti-LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
And Saja helped to write the constitution of the party that defines marriage as between a man and a woman. He's written legislation that is incredibly anti-trans. They are unbelievably homophobic as an organization, as a political party, sort of really pushing back LGBT rights in Hungary for mm-hmm. the last few years now. But yeah, it's like this is the man that they caught who was like, I'm an MEP. Now, the witnesses claim that Saja claimed diplomatic immunity. Saja apparently has now said that he never did claim that.
Okay.
He just didn't have any ID on them. So to assist the police inquiries, he informed them that he was a diplomat.
Okay.
As one does.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. What did you hear about this particular party?
I mean, very little that you haven't already covered. I mean, there has been a peculiar reaction to it in terms of... Because there was a similar story of a Catholic priest who was famously homophobic in New York City and helped keep homophobia in the center of the Catholic Church in the New York context, who was recently found watching gay pornography.
Yes, and then he assaulted the security guard?
And then he assaulted the security who had filmed him watching it, which is also kind of peculiar behavior, but it could have been just like, oh, look what this is, as opposed to like, I don't know, creepy stuff. So there is this sort of ongoing narrative of, you know, if you are a closet homosexual who is expressing your internalized homophobia by being politically actively anti-LGBT, why would you also go about getting semen on your person? And it's just like
in a Led Zepp party.
If you are in the closet, then you're in the closet. If you're in the closet and pushing anti-rights, but also going to a Led Zepp party, like there's a peculiar mindset going on.
And this is really why, and I mentioned earlier at the top of the show that there were two other diplomats. And has anyone even identified them? No, because they're not relevant. Because they aren't spending their spare time trying to take children away from gay foster parents.
Yeah.
Which is something that this guy was doing like the week before.
Like, imagine if we discovered that Peter McKay was found at a Legs Up party.
Or Derek Sloan or...
Well, I'm thinking Peter McKay because as much as he's on the Conservative Party, he's very much like, when it comes to social issues, like, do your own thing.
Yeah.
If he were caught at a Legs Up, a gentleman's Legs Up party, people would be like, oh, that's weird. And then we would go about our business.
It would be unexpected.
It would be unexpected, yeah.
But it wouldn't be a story because Peter McKay would not have been a hypocrite.
It would, but it would be a story for like an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas Joseph Saja has undoubtedly, he's really being alleged to be the worst kind of hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely abhorrent. Now, apparently Viktor Orban, the leader of Hungary is very upset by this news that his co-founding party member was caught in a Legs Up party.
Yeah, he may need to... this is the ultimate irony. He may need to apply for refugee status.
So the Fidesz party is known, renowned for its anti-gay position. Like I said last week, they drafted legislation to ban gay people from adopting children.
Mm-hmm.
And they've recently banned the legal recognition of trans people. So it's been, this guy is the worst. So when he gets caught shuffling down the drain pipe with ecstasy in his back pocket, I'm like, throw the book at him. Because that's what he's done to other queer folks. I find that so repulsive as a human.
Mm-hmm.
That you spend your time ruining the lives of LGBT folks in Hungary, but you go and get your legs up in Belgium. Like, it's despicable.
Yeah.
Now, that reminds me of another European politician who got caught with in the nude, or with a nude, I should say, which is a Lithuanian story. Did you hear about it? You did hear about that.
I did hear that, but I'm still thinking if you put Purell on the lube station, it would probably get used by accident. So you would have to
have... Oh, that would not end well.
Yeah, you would need your hand wash station. I'm really, really
caught up on that hand wash station.
I'm trying to problem solve. Maybe if you got one of those like hand dispensers that's on the wall. No one's going to confuse that. Oh, no, but somebody might confuse that.
Just stop. Let's move on to... So there was a Lithuanian member of parliament, Petras Gorzulis, who was in a Zoom meeting. It was a committee meeting of parliament. And, you know, these things happen. Everyone has committee meetings. And the number of just Zoom mishaps that have plagued people all over the world. Yep. Like, there was a woman recently who lost her job because she went to the toilet and pooped during a Zoom call.
Okay.
She didn't realize she wasn't muted and took, like, her phone with her and pooped in a Zoom call.
Why would you lose your job over that? It's kind of embarrassing, but...
Yeah, I think there was, like, clearly other parts to it. Okay. But anyway, this guy, Grazulis, he was in the Zoom meeting for a culture meeting. And out of nowhere, this, like, young naked man, well, we assume naked.
Shirtless man.
We know at least shirtless.
Definitely shirtless,
yeah. Sort of looms up behind him. Grazulis, like, evidently reacts quickly, turns off the camera, and all the committee people are like, you know, this is like an official business meeting.
Yeah.
Why is there a shirtless man behind you?
And that's when it gets weird.
I mean, we've run into this. We've had interviews with people where they didn't realize their microphone was as sensitive as it was. And we could hear their partner doing dishes.
We interviewed somebody and there was someone doing dishes all in the next room. And it's like, that's not how...
And we could hear them better than they could.
Yeah.
Which was really weird. And actually, recently, last week, I had a departmental meeting where the head of the department didn't realize her six-year-old was jumping on the couch in the background. And nobody said anything because it was just hilarious. But it was, she was embarrassed, and we're all like, you have a six-year-old.
It's a Zoom meeting. You have a couch. These things happen.
Yeah.
But, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, people pass by the back of a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But that's not what happened here.
No.
This is where the story gets weird. And I don't know what it is with European politicians just weirdly backtracking. But Mr. Grizulis said, no, it's fine. It's my son. And it took all of 1 minute of sleuthing to realize that his son was in a different... that wasn't his son.
Right.
And then the guy goes, no, it wasn't my son. It was a Lithuanian journalist by the name of Andrius Tapinas.
Okay.
So people asked Mr. Tapinas, were you half-dressed, looming behind this politician during a culture committee meeting? To which Mr. Tapinas said, no, that wasn't me. And now Grizulis says, he haunts me everywhere. And he's now alleging that this is, in fact, the live and well Mr. Tapinas's ghost that was looming behind him with no clothes on. On his behalf and what we could see. So it is quite something. He has refused to answer pretty basic questions like, how were you confused between a ghost and your son?
Yes.
And also, who was it?
Who was I?
So, I mean, we still don't know the truth of this mysterious undressed man.
I mean, this is kind of a peculiar story because it's kind of just nosiness at this point. But it's the main non-story issue. It's a non-story that became a story because he couldn't just say, like, yeah, it's the guy who's repairing my roof and it's sunny. And
the local roofer.
The local roofer. And he didn't realize I was in a meeting. Like, he could have, like, or he could have just been like, yeah, that's none of your business. Like, instead of saying, that's my son, he could have just said, yeah, don't worry about it. I don't know. This is less of a concrete story than the escaping from a legs up party. We're really hooked on this term, aren't we?
Yeah, the legs up party. I like it. I like it. See, for me, if I was thinking of a legs up party prior to this story, I'm thinking comfortable couches with like ottomans where you can rest your legs. In a relaxing manner.
I would have thought of Heather, a mutual friend, when she had her bachelorette party.
That was a legs up party.
And you got her so drunk she fell over twice.
That was
a legs up party.
I had to call that a tits up party, but that's just because of the colloquialism.
Yeah.
So last story before we jump to our next song is an interesting story. There is a sex toy company by black trans folks called Shop NB, ENBY, because the acronyms N and B are often used to refer to non-binary folks.
Okay.
So they're specializing in sex toys for non-binary folks, NB.
Okay.
But they've spelt it ENBY, NB, as opposed to NB.
I see.
Because NB is a very common acronym.
It's the exact same thing as SO. They spell it ESSO, but it stands for Standard Oil, but they didn't want people calling them SO.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So I always wondered that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Huh.
It would be like if British Petroleum spelled their name BEEPY for BP.
Mm.
It'd be like that. So yeah, MB. Got it. Yeah.
Or if they spelled it OILSPILL. That's the other one they could certainly do. Well, it turns out that this company called Wildflower has now sued them or is threatening legal action for copyright infringement because they also have a sex toy called Enby.
Okay.
And they are alleging that this trans organization, company, who's launched their sex toy called Enby, is in breach of copyright. And it's an interesting case because it is essentially the acronym for non-binary folks.
Would it be copyright or trademark? I feel like they got a copyright on something they should have gotten a trademark on. Like, I think this is going to be the kind of thing that's going to get drawn out in the courts. And the other thing is that there's no clear villain here either. It's two companies trying to do a good and stepping on each other's toes. And instead of just saying, oh, hey, buddy, sorry, we thought about this at the same time, but this is positive action for people. Now they're taking each other to court. Like, I don't know. They're kind of neither's the villain, but they're both kind of petty. I don't know how to interpret this story other than that. But I mean, like, it's good that they're making things. Like, here in Ottawa, actually, there's a feminist toy store called Venus Envy.
Yeah.
And they very distinctly keep penis-shaped dildos separate from non-penis-shaped dildos because there are people who do not want a penis. They just want a tool. And it doesn't need to look like a thing for them. And in fact, looking like the thing in question is kind of against the point for them, you know? So yeah. they kind of keep them separate. So I could see that there's a lot of interesting and peculiar identity and sexuality. Well,
they're trying to raise funds to fight this action. They were sent a legal assist. Apparently the Shop Wildfire company has said, no, we're happy to talk. You know, this is... They're pulling all the right PR moves. But what they did was show up and serve them legal papers and issued a cease and desist.
Right.
They want ShopNB to hand over its domain name and its Insta handle.
Oh, my.
So that they can't use even the phrase NB. Okay. So they're trying to start a legal challenge and win to stop this other company from monopolizing the term ENBY. And then preventing anyone else from making trans-inclusive sex toys that are called ENBY.
Like, Coke tried to trademark a specific shade of red. And then actually Pepsi were the ones who countersued saying you can't do that, even though they tried to trademark a specific shade of blue later on. But that was a different thing. But it was just an issue of, like, can you really get away with doing that? And the answer, it turned out, was no, because it's an idea and it's hard to protect. Anything that's hard to enforce... trademark and copyright tends to little...
Yeah,
they tend to hesitate.
ENBY seems like a unique name. So maybe they were initially granted it. But I think if this company can show that non-binary folks collectively across the whole country of the US, which is where this is based, refer to themselves as ENBYs, then they've got a case there that this is a common term. And you can't copyright common terms, and it's not in the States. So, I mean, it'll be quite interesting. We'll be keeping an eye on it and seeing how it develops. Now, I was feeling some folksy vibes. We played the Keen and the Kine from the Canadian Earshot Music Distribution Service earlier. And now, this is a track from Alison Krauss.
Okay.
I'm a big fan. I've actually... listened to a couple of her tracks that she put up, and this one is amongst my favorite.
I think we've played it before, haven't we?
I think so too. And this is sort of a folksy jaunt.
A folksy jaunt.
Called Foggy Shores of Home. And you know what? These have been some dark days. There's been some depressing stuff out there. I feel like we all need a folksy jaunt every now and then.
The solstice is like 2 weeks away.
This is true. Yeah. This is dark days.
Sun's going down at like 1 p.m. and...
Yeah. You look the wrong way and you get bad news. But anyway, this is Foggy Shores of Home. We shall be back right after
this. 1, 2, 3, 4. I have sailed across the ocean wide. I've sailed the world around. I have sailed on barks and brigantines from Lisbon to St. John's. I have sailed where the oceans tossed and rolled. I've sailed where the ocean foams. I have sailed where the ice flows thunder and roar to bring the white colts home. Wherever you may ramble, wherever you may roam. see the foggy shores of home. I have sailed down to the South Sea Isles. I've sailed where the trade winds come. I have sailed on schooners listing low to bring home baccy and rum. I have sailed to the city of New York and labored in the sky. And high above those streets below, back home my heart would fly. Wherever you may ramble, wherever you may roam, wherever you may be, you'll be happy to see the foggy shores of home. One day I will return to my dear foggy shore, and I'll pull out the grounds of my hometown and go to sea no more. Wherever you may ramble, wherever you may roam, wherever you may be, you'll be happy to see the foggy shores of home. Wherever you may ramble, wherever you may roam, wherever you may be, you'll be happy to see the foggy shores home.
Hello and welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
Hello, Sebastian.
Hello.
Did you hear about Elliot Page?
Yes.
Very hard not to hear about Elliot Page.
Oh, yes.
So the Canadian actor has recently come out as a trans man.
Yes.
Which was kind of big news in its own way. But what I think is the most impressive part of this whole news story is some of the sort of side stories that came out of it.
Yes.
Like, yes. The fact that Netflix, Elliot Page posted on Instagram, I think, the story kind of coming out as their authentic self. And within about a day, if that, Netflix had updated the name and gender and all of the titles created by and featuring Elliot Page.
Hmm.
Sony was, you know, commented, you know, congratulations, Elliot, on you know, living your true self.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had commented and misgendered Elliot. And Sony was like, he, with the little star asterisk.
Yeah.
And just left it at that, you know? Yeah. We're not going to get into it. We're not going to fight with this random Instagram person, but it's a he, not she.
Well, I mean, that is the start of a potential flame war by doing that. But they just don't have to respond to the response.
No, yeah. They got their point across. They a small, sharp, swift correction, and moved on. And I think with Elliot Page coming out, we have seen some really great examples of what they suggest folks should do. If a friend of yours comes out as trans, for example.
Right, yeah.
Which is, hear the new name, and go, okay, cool, it's Elliot. All right, Elliot, I'm going to try and remember that. Not going to call them what they were before. Going to stick with Elliot.
Yeah.
If a friend of mine gets the name wrong, oh, by the way, I don't know if you missed it, but it's Elliot.
Yeah.
And then just move on. Yeah. Oh, they refer to them as she. Sorry, by the way, he... And just move on.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of cool that we saw like Netflix and Sony and you know, people that he's acted with all coming out in support and using the correct terms. So it was quite heartwarming to see it done well and done right.
It's kind of hard to talk about because the thing that makes it a story is that it's a non-story. That nothing interesting happened, but that's interesting because usually there's weird fallout. But it was just sort of like, oh, okay, cool. We'll update your stuff. All right, see you at work next week.
And there was a weird question around. So Elliot Page,
yeah,
and for those who live under a rock, previously known as Ellen Page, played the character of Vanya in the Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
Now,
generally speaking, former roles don't matter anymore, but this is an ongoing series.
Yeah. Now, Elliot Page had been in talks with the creators of the Umbrella Academy and with Netflix. And Vanya in the Umbrella Academy is a female character.
Yes.
It's a queer woman.
Yes.
And Elliot Page has committed to continuing to play the character
right.
as a queer woman.
Right.
Playing the character of a queer woman.
Yes.
And Netflix has clarified, yep, there will be no character changes to Vanya. The next series is coming out on XYZ date.
Yep.
We're looking forward to having Elliot come to work. And essentially, everyone's like, wait, what? No. How is this going to work? And then people have just politely pointed out that actors and actresses have played various other genders, species, and so on for years.
You watched all of Star Trek Next Generation this year.
Recently.
Yeah, and there were multiple times where they had species where they would have male and female actors just sort of jumbled in there to sort of represent that the species was, at least to our eyes, ambiguous. So, I mean, there is, especially within science fiction anyway, mm-hmm. definitely a tradition of getting men and women to play women and men, or ambiguous, because it's science fiction, who cares? So there's definitely been a lot of, and actually there's been a couple science fiction shows where they get men to play women specifically because they're huge, and sometimes they play it off for laughs, sometimes they play it off for like, this is just a different species, man, that's just how they roll.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's, I don't know, like for people to freak out, like fundamentally Umbrella Academy is a superhero comic.
Yeah.
No biggie.
So I think we have addressed the Elliot Page coming out. And I wanna congratulate Elliot Page on living their true selves. I mean, it's nice to see that this Canadian actor
yeah.
felt comfortable in their skin and in the space that they're in to do that. So that's exciting.
My main thing is that this is a boring story, and I'm glad it's a boring story. Like, it should be a boring story. Like, well, not much happened.
Let's move on. So in Saskatchewan, it was World AIDS Day recently. And the province of the government of the province of Saskatchewan tweeted out a photo, and it had a gay couple, and it said, you know, essentially HIV, it's treatable, get tested. And people took a lot of issue with this, because in Saskatchewan, 67% of all new HIV cases is from intravenous drug use.
Really?
Yeah, only 16% of cases are actually from men having sex with men. So the gay folks in Saskatchewan are like, it's a bit of a stereotype in Saskatchewan
yeah.
to go HIV AIDS equals gay man.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's what we need to do. If you were trying to raise awareness around getting tested,
yeah.
why would you not promote it to the actual majority of new cases,
yes,
which is intravenous drug use,
or the high risk new case? Because if, not to be crass about it, but if you are a new case, it's too late. In terms of prevention, I should say.
If you've been diagnosed with HIV, there is effective
treatment programs.
Yeah. That will bring your rate down to zero, you know, in terms of your ability to infect others.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you can live almost as, I think it's almost, if not as long and well and healthy as, you know, the next guy over. And I think that's important to know, that there are solutions out there.
Yeah.
There are the comorbidities of the medication, and we won't sugarcoat those.
Yeah, no, it's not a fun med to be on.
No, but you will live as long and happily as the next guy with these comorbidities.
Yeah.
But it also means that you are not now infecting the next Joe Schmo.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think that that's so important. And especially with intravenous drug use. So within about a day, the gay community in Saskatchewan was like, this is kind of outrageous
mm-hmm.
that, you know.
I think it was part of a larger campaign where they had like You know, sometimes they have poster campaigns where there's, like multiple times.
Yeah, I get it.
You have a gay couple, you have a straight couple, you have, like, a picture of a needle, you have a I don't know, like, various.
Yeah.
Then if it fit into a larger campaign, then I'd be like, you know what? That's what you should do.
It makes sense. That's but what no, do. It was, like, 67% of cases intravenous. And they thought, I know, gay man. So they did issue an apology almost immediately once the issue was highlighted. Now, cast your mind back to January.
But I'm still thinking gay man with a lube station, but not a hand wash station.
In a feet-up party.
In a legs-up party. Yeah, there's sanitation issues in general. Yeah, maybe the intravenous thing could be a little bit more in focus. But you're saying?
Yes. Cast your mind back to January.
Yes.
And Olivia Nawama of Pride Toronto, the executive director.
Oh, man.
We had so many issues.
Oh, man.
With Olivia Nawama how they had managed the social media presence of Pride. Getting into flame wars over Twitter as the Pride account.
The whole thing was... We see what you're trying to do. We like what you think you're trying to do, but we see what you are doing.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
The reality versus expectations were... And there were so many questions around the way that they got money from the Liberals and they got money from the police. And it was just... And the fact that they applied for a federal grant to do a national survey where they are a local pride.
Yeah,
it's just so many issues. Anyway, Olivia Nawama left... Pride in January. There was a bit of a couple of questions as to how and why that happened. But Pride Toronto has finally completed their hunt for a new executive director.
Okay.
And they have hired Sherwin Modeste as their new executive director. Now, I'm actually quite excited about Sherwin's position.
Okay.
Because what it shows is they are hiring a professional non-profit worker.
Oh, so, fancy that.
Yeah. They're, not to undermine Olivia Nawama's previous work.
Yeah.
But what Sherwin was doing before that was the director of community health services at the Vibrant Healthcare Alliance, where over the last 6 to 8 months has completely transformed this health service into a digital forward service provider.
Okay.
And now Pride is thinking, well, you know, we can't really celebrate with 2 bajillion people on the street.
Yeah.
So having someone who has transformed
yeah.
a service to entirely online, good skill set.
Well, yeah, this is the thing that, like, when you've sat on a board, because we've both sat on the board of a Pride committee, you want your board to be seasoned professionals, and you want for, like... This is not to undermine the diversity stuff, but you want that in programming. Like you want the diversity, you want the representation, you want that in the programming, so they make sure that the actual public facing events are welcoming and diverse. But the people in the back room who like count the beans and make sure that everything adds up, you want the professionals.
Yeah, you want people who have leadership.
Yeah.
And can innovate.
Yeah.
Now, prior to that, Modeste was the manager of grants and development and sponsorship for the Toronto Community Housing Association.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, like, the ability to pull money from government and corporations as a non-profit, the ability to digitize a traditionally in-person service.
Well, we are
holding our breath. Toronto Pride is the largest Pride festival in this country.
And one of the top 10 in the world.
So it is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
When they bring in
this is not just director. Toronto's the center of the universe. This is like, you know, if Sydney's Mardi Gras or if...
They recently banned the police, by the way. That was a story from this week.
If like San Francisco or Miami or Rio
or New York
or Tel Aviv had a similar story, it would be equally interesting. It just has that extra flavor of being Canadian. Yeah. Although Toronto is the center of the universe, unfortunately.
No. Toronto's not the center of the universe. We're sorry, Toronto, but that's not true. Well, that's all we've got time for today. Just before we leave, I did want to acknowledge that we received a very heartwarming email from a listener who thanked us for our coverage of
The various trans stories out of the East Coast and, yes. and across Canada.
It was Newfoundland, I believe.
I can't remember exactly where it may be, Nova Scotia, but
It was St. John, and my brain was going, "Oh man, there's like five places called St. John yeah. slash apostrophe S," and I can't.
Oh,
remember.
Not S. So yeah, I don't remember. We won't go into the specifics.
It was one of the St. John's is.
But yeah, we want to thank the listener, and you know, it is heartwarming to hear that there is a value for the conversations that we bring forward. I mean, I don't know how much value you're going to get out of knowing that Ireland has turned moths gay to tackle a infestation problem.
Or then an orgy or a legs up
party. Or a legs up party in Belgium. But at the end of the day, those are the news this week. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And we should, we'll be playing out the last song in the Folksy Trio. Cats and Jammer, which is actually a Norwegian group that I quite like, and their song A Bar in Amsterdam.
Yep.
Yes, Bar in Amsterdam by Cats and Jammer. I've been Sebastian. I've been Luke Smith, and thank you for listening.
Hey! 9 hours passed, and how long will it last? Says the man with the plan and the gun in his hand. He's scared but prepared. It might be as he feared. Art is still in control and safe behind the wall. This evening's too quiet, oh, we need a real riot. To shake and to break and to bite like a snake. We're stuck in this attic, so bored and so static. Tomorrow they'll ask us to throw off our mask. But the storm is coming across the hills tonight. Like a vein full of rain to the hearts that should fight. The storm is coming across the hills tonight. Silence like sworn threats of violence. I long for an end, and it's coming round the bend. If we live through this night and we still be alright, we flee to Siam or a bar in Amsterdam. But the storm is coming across the hills tonight. Like a vein full of rain to the hearts that should fight. The storm is coming across the hills tonight. Like a vein full of rain to the heart. Should fight. The storm is coming.